What stories are you telling?
As parents, we want to know how to take our family to the next level.
Where our children choose into excellence.
Where poor behaviors melt away naturally.
And where our connection to each other is rich and beautiful.
We are Kent and Amy Bowler, and our purpose is to help you achieve just that.
This is where joy lives.
Welcome to Revolutionary Families.
We love to tell the story of the man and the lady, and it goes something like this. Once upon a time, there was a man, and the man was sad and lonely, and he wanted to go on a date, and so he saw that there was a light on in the window across the way from his apartment. And this was late at night, and so the man went across to the other building, across the way to the window that had a light on, and knocked on the window, and a lady came to the window. And the man asked the lady, "Will you go with me to the soccer game?"
And the lady hadn't been on a date in a really long time. And she said, "Yeah, sure."
And so the man couldn't wait for the next 2 days to go by. And the next 2 days went by. And Friday came, and the man went to the lady's house, and they went to the soccer game. And fortunately for the man, it was really, really cold that night. And so he brought a blankie for the man and the lady to cuddle in so that they could be warm together. That was nice. And at the end of the soccer game,
the lady said, "Do you want to come to my house and have some hot cocoa?"
And the man said, "Yeah, sure.
So they came to the lady's house and they had hot cocoa and they got warm and they stayed up all night talking.
And the man and the lady saw each other every single day after that. And pretty soon, the lady said to the man, "I'm not ready for a boyfriend." And the man said, "Okay, no problem." But they still saw each other every single day. And then one day, the man said to the lady, "I love you."
And then one day, the man said, "Will you be my best friend forever?" And the lady said, "Yeah, sure.
And so the man and the lady, they went to a special place. And they were married, and they loved each other, and they were happy together, and they loved each other so, so much. And then a crazy, wild thing happened. The lady's tummy started to get bigger.
Bigger, and out popped Chris.
And we held him in our arms, and we loved him so much, and just held him like this in our little arms and rocked him back and forth, and we're so happy that he was there. And then the lady's tummy, it happened again. The craziest thing in the world, it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It went like this. Bigger and bigger.
And then out popped Brad.
Just like that. Popped right on out.
And then Dan. And then Emma.
And then Ben. And then Gabby. And then Henry. And when you were born, Henry, we held you in our arms like this and rocked you back and forth. And we were so, so, so glad that you came to our home and to our family.
And that's the story of the man and the lady that we have told to all of our children when we were putting them to bed at some time or another. One of the most requested stories, probably most often told by Dad, because he's a great storyteller.
Oh, about a year ago, somewhere in there. As part of the going to bed process, the kids would always request a nighttime story. And so there's lots of different stories that we would tell, I would tell going to bed. But one night, I told the story of Goldilocks, but being goofy the way that I am, I changed up the characters. And so there was a Henry Bear, and there was a Gabby Bear, and I was the Papa Bear, and I retold the story with us in the story, and the kids were laughing and loved it and so ecstatic to be part of the story. But then what was amazing is that after telling that story, one of them said to me, "Good night, Papa Bear." And that has not ever stopped.
Yeah.
So every night now, it's good night, my little bear cubs, you know, whatever we do with our nighttime routine. But the last thing is, good night, my little bear cubs, and good night, my Papa Bear. And it's this super powerful, sweet connection that binds us together.
Yeah.
That connects us.
Yeah, that's what stories do. Yeah, they're powerful. They're powerful. And even you think about the story of the man and the lady. Yes, it's our story. It's our family story, but it's not really that exciting. There's not really anything extraordinary about it. But in the telling of it and then the retelling of it, it has become a part of our family culture. And so just that story connects us.
Right. Stories speak to our hearts. It's what we remember. It's what makes us human. There's this awesome quote from Bill Buford. He says that stories, think about this in our time now, stories protect us from chaos. Mm. They are the foundation of memory, essential to the way we make sense of our lives, the beginning, middle, and end of our personal and collective trajectories. So stories make up the foundation of who we are as families, of that collective trajectory of who we are as a family.
Yeah, and you think about how much movies are a part of our culture. Movies, so important. Books, even you think about a song. When you watch a music video about a song, how much more meaning it has when you connect a story to it, when you see who are the characters that this story is being told about. They're powerful. They're what we remember and what we want to go back to.
Right.
We tell kids stories from super young age, nursery rhymes. Our little six-year-old was memorizing the poem of Little Miss Muffet Sat on Her Tuffet. And yeah, it's a little rhyme, but it's a little story. And that's way easier to remember than some other things, lists of facts or other things like that, that don't have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Stories are really, really powerful. And we're actually telling them all the time, even if we don't even realize that we're telling them. We're always telling stories. Oh man, today in town, the traffic was crazy and there was this and there was that. Or I went to the store and I was kind of in a rush and then there was this cranky lady and she got in my way and then the teller was rude. And that's a story.
That's a story.
That's a story. We're telling stories in our conversations. What are the stories that we're telling? We want to be proactive and conscious of the stories that we're telling. And that doesn't mean we only tell happy stories, but we want to be intentional and make sure that the majority of the stories that we're telling are uplifting and are teaching lessons and not just complaining or sharing the negative of our lives.
Yeah, so that reminds me of a story that I would tell the kids a lot. They would request it by name, the story of Flat Top Mountain. I was in Alaska on a business trip, and I would tell the story about how when I landed on the plane, I come out of the airport and there's a moose jumping on the grass, and I said, "Hello, Mr. Moose," and you know, just was surprised to see a moose sitting right there at the airport. I'd never seen a moose at an airport before. But then how at the end of the day, I went on a hike, and normally at that time of the day, the sun would be going down, but the sun was still up, and so we went on this hike.
Because it's Alaska.
Because it's Alaska. And, you know, all these great little details, and then hike up to the top of the mountain, and the wind is blowing super hard, and because it's blowing so hard, I laid down flat to keep from being blown off the top of this super high mountain. But then going down that mountain, my friend and I got separated, and we're just having fun sliding down these glaciers. And we talk about the fact the glacier is bigger than them, bigger than me, bigger than our car, bigger than our house. You know, it was just this huge, big glacier that we're sliding down. As I was going down that glacier, I slipped and lost traction and started sliding out of control down this really steep portion of the glacier. And I was really scared because there were these big, sharp, pointy rocks that I was going towards. And I was doing everything that I knew how to do to slow myself down. I'm trying to dig in my heels. I'm clawing with my hands. And the ice is just solid. But nothing is working because the ice is impenetrable. It's solid. And I'm just sliding on top of it. And nothing I can do is slowing me down. And I'm sliding faster and faster towards my impending death with these sharp black rocks that are coming up out of the ice. And I'm scared and afraid. And in that moment, you know, say a little prayer and ask for help. And right after that, my heel that I'm trying to dig in finally breaks through the crust of that ice on top of the glacier. And I'm sliding so fast that it drives that leg all the way through the ice and snow. So now I have one leg that's stuck, you know, 3 feet deep down into the glacier. My other leg is like doing the splits on top of the glacier. And now and now I'm a human popsicle where I got one leg in the ice and the rest of me stuck up out. And now my next dilemma is, how do I get out of the ice? But they love that story just for all the fun little elements in it with the moose and the wind and getting blown. But then the story that comes out of it, that God helps us in our time of need when I thought I was about to die.
Yeah, I love the way that's one of Kent's gifts, to be able to take an ordinary thing. And that was a little bit more exciting. You're on a glacier.
Yeah.
But you do the same thing with just the everyday things, making them exciting, making them interesting, making them goofy, and finding the teaching moment in there. I love it. Our daughter, Gabby, is in a play. She's going to be Anne in Anne of Green Gables, and we were telling friends about it and putting it on social media. And
Amy posted this super sweet picture of the picture of Anne that's on the cover of one of the popular editions of the book, and Gabby, and wow, they look exactly the same.
They both have the red hair and their braids.
Pigtails.
And yeah, looks really cute. We were amazed at the response that we got from people all over saying, I love that story. I love Anne of Green Gables. And I was thinking this morning about the story of Anne of Green Gables and how it's a story of this little 11-year-old orphan girl who goes to a new place and stays with her new adoptive parents, who are a little bit older brother and sister who've lived alone for years, and just their life. And their life is not extraordinary. They live each day. She becomes a teacher. I mean, very, very mundane and regular. And yet it's become this book and story that is loved by thousands of people and is heartwarming and just powerful. And that is the power of a story, no matter how ordinary that you think it is. And that's what we want to share with you today and urge you and ourselves to do, is to be intentional about the stories that we're telling in our family. Be aware of them, and they don't need to be grandiose. Or even there's a Dr. Seuss book about To Think That I Saw on Mulberry Street, and about how this grandpa's telling a story and it gets wild and wild and grandiose and just comes back to just the horse and the cart on Mulberry Street. And sometimes we tell the grandiose and exciting and fun stories of sliding down the mountains, but then other times it's just the regular story that is in our day. But when we turn it into a story, then it has a meaning.
The story of going to a soccer game with a blanket and some hot cocoa.
Right, right. And you tell it over and over, and it has meaning. So our challenge for you, our invitation to you, is to collect stories that have meaning to you in your life. I've started keeping a log on my phone where I collect the stories, not just that happened to me, but stories that I hear of people in the world. There are inspiring stories that are happening all over the place. Keep a log of them. If you're like me and it's harder for you to remember them, you can write them down. That's okay, to help you remember. And then tell stories. Tell stories in your family, from your own life, from history, people that inspire you, from the scriptures, and even from fiction.
And tell those stories from the ordinary and the extraordinary. And use those stories to protect your family from the chaos, to build your family up, to create that foundation and that shared trajectory where now they belong, where they feel a part of the family. They are an integral part of that collective, that family group.
Yeah.
Because of the stories that we share together.
Right. You think about that story we shared at the beginning, the man and the lady, and how that is an ordinary story, but just the title of it, The Man and the Lady, has created, it's like a legend in our family now. And it's something where each person is a part of it. And that is powerful. And that's what we each want for our families. And it's what our children need.
I found out the other day that our kids tell that story to their kids. The Man and the Lady. Yeah, it is a legend.
That's awesome. You are amazing. What you're doing with your families is extraordinary, even in the everyday.
We love who you are. We're in this fight with you. We care about you. Go to revolutionaryfamilies.com and download The Number One Parenting Secret. It will help you to connect with your children, just like these stories do.
And don't forget to trust that God trusts you.